This morning we said Hallel, Kodesh Kodesh Kodesh. We also inaugurated, in a sense, Chodesh Ador, and we did this in the week of Parshas Terumah, which is always the first parsha in a normal Shana Pshuta, is always the first parsha that we read in Chodesh Ador. Are these just loose strands, or is there any connection, any relation between these three particular things? And I would venture to suggest that there is, and they are connected in a sense. The Kesher Shel Kayom, we began today Chodesh Ador. It's the name of a month. We don't know the reason for these names. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah brings B'Shem HaYerushalmi that the names of the months were given when the Yidden were in Golus Bavel, and they came back to Eretz Yisrael with these Chadoshim and with the names. But why they were so called is not explained. What's the reason, if possibly one can suggest one, for Chodesh Ador? In the Chiddush HaRim, HaMatzeir writes the following. The Medrash at the beginning of Parashas Terumah says that when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, so to speak, a bas, Shomayim he gave la'oretz. So he said to them, I'm giving you the Torah down our la'oretz. I would also like you to do me a favor, said the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kitun echod aseli sha'odur etzlecha. Make for me also a small room. Kitun echod sha'odur etzlecha, that I can dwell amongst you. Which was the introduction to the Binyan HaMishnah. A kitun echod sha'odur etzlecha. Loshen dira. So the Chiddush HaRim, if so, it could well be that Chodesh Ador stems from that root of Sha'odur Etzlechem Aloshen Dira. Chodesh Ador is a Chodesh when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dor, dwells B'tachtoinim Etzlechem amongst Klal Yisrael. But one has to naturally understand this. What does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with Klal Yisrael in the Chodesh Ador? The Ribbono Shel Olam dwells with Klal Yisrael all the time. What's special about Chodesh Ador that it's called a miyuchadike dira b'tachtoinim amongst Klal Yisrael? I think possibly the pshat is this. Even amongst the goyim, who are maminim in the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they believe that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and they believe that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. Nevertheless, their belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam is to the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lords over the Bria in the hemisphere of Shemayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam's domain is Shemayim. As we said in this morning's Hallel, Rom al kol goyim Hashem al hashamayim kavoidoi. The shita and the hashkafa of the goyim is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Rom, very exalted, ayah of al hashamayim kavoidoi. There with the angels, with the hemispheres, the heavenly spheres. That's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Oh, but it's not that the Ribbono Shel Olam's geshäft nafsha, they feel it's not covered about Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he should be misarev, he should be involved in kol prat and prat bo'ilam hazeh amongst human beings, shpeilim v'nivzim klach Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there shit is, even if they believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, oh, but he's not misarev, he's not involved, he doesn't direct, he doesn't manipulate anything that goes on in the world, that's out of his hands. And therefore anything that does happen in the world is not necessarily b'hashgocha v'akadosh baruch hu, it's just happenings, it's random events that take place. It's nothing to do with the bench. the Rebbeinu Shalom does not direct and supervise everything that goes on in the Oritz beneath the Shemai. That's the shitter of the Goy. The shitter of Klal Yisrael is very different. Not only are man the Rebbeinu Shalom was Boyura Oilam, the Rebbeinu Shalom has a Metzias exists in the world, the Rebbeinu Shalom is an Odin in Shemayim, but we also said in Halil this morning, Mika Hashem Elokeinu Magbil HaShavos HaMashpil Yiviroiz HaShemayim Ulamot. Mika Hashem Elokeinu, that's our Hashkofi. Hashkofi of Goyim is wrong, our Kol Goyim is in Mala Shemayim Kol Goyim, our Hashkofi of Klal Yisrael is different. Mika Hashem Elokeinu HaMagbil HaShavos HaMashpil Yiviroiz HaShemayim Ulamot. The Rebbeinu Shalom is involved in everything that we do. When a person puts his hand in his pocket to take out an adobe for a mashulach, and he wanted to give him 10 pence, and he takes it out to 50 pence, he's stumbling in the shmai, he will not get 50 pence, just get 10 pence. And if he wants to change the coin and everything, how many times he has to put his hand in his pocket to find the right coin, that's a nashmai. Any of the noikiv that's born milmato and then came machrizen all of the person goes and knocks his finger. It would seem to be a very haphazard random event. Ein odom noikiv etzbo lemata elim kein machrizen on the mat. Now, shittin is also a leaf doesn't fall off a tree unless it's a pekudim nashman. The leaf dafa. That's how Ashkofer. And mashpili lilois rashmai vlat. There's nothing. No such thing as an insignificant event that takes place by itself. The skips in the class. Sure. In that we differ very much from the Ummah Sayyidah. One of the many things that we differ from. And perhaps, if the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to teach us this Hashkofa that we have, and to bring it to the forefront of our minds, the time and the best event and episode, perhaps, is one of them in our history, which took place was the event of Purim. Purim, as you know, was an episode which, so to speak, from beginning to end took almost 10 years. It doesn't look like that in the beginning when you read it in 40 minutes. Aber Lamaisa, from the beginning to end of the whole episode, from the beginning of the traders with his Suda until the end of the Atzolot, that was something which took place over a matter of 10 years. And during almost 10 years. And in that time, things took place which you look at them, they're very, very conventional, very ordinary. A husband and wife have an argument, you know. It just happened. And you get annoyed with your wife, and your wife answers back. Achashverus, you know. It happens. As in Baruch Hashem, from present company excluded or something. It doesn't have that, but it doesn't have that plan, does it? And then the fact that the person can't sleep at night, and he takes a book to read, and Achashverus couldn't sleep at the night and asked for the Chronicles to read, and suddenly it happened to be that Haman was there, Kehina, but Kehina, all the various things, and the plots and counterplots against Malchus and against kings. You read them, well, I don't read these papers, but they say you do read these papers. I'm sure you'll see that these things are taking place all over the world at different times. These things are very, very and if you look at them, they are, as I say, seem to be very ordinary, conventional, random events that seem to be taking place. At the time, they looked like that. At the end of the episode, as you know, when everything tied up and the whole jigsaw puzzle came together, one saw that every single poshita event that took place, that people didn't even raise an eyebrow at the time, was Alf Bahashgocha Rakodish Bohu working, planning, bringing all the various pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together until the end of Hashem, the denouement was everything came into place. So we saw it then, the time of the episode of Purim. There you could see Hamashpini Lirois Bashemaim of Ba'oritz, that everything that placed Ba'oritz as Mamish Hakodish Bohu, Mika Hashem Elokeinu Hamashpini. And perhaps the greatest example of all in this episode of Purim was the very name that is given to this whole event, Purim. And Purim means a lot, dice. The dice that Haman threw to find out when he should make his decree. Now there's nothing more random, more chancy, more haphazard than a dice. You throw it, you fell anyway. And the whole episode of Purim is Al Shem HaPur. Normally we take some particular event that took place in this year and we call it the Pur, the throwing of the dice. This is the Ikar of Purim. That's where the name comes from, because of the dice that you throw on the table to find out in which Chodesh. Does it Purim? Yeah, does it Purim? Because the whole idea of the whole Nikuda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring home in Purim was that there's nothing, even the most chance event, which doesn't seem to have any rhyme or reason, just something falling. It's Ausmaß Gottes Plan. Everything that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is working behind the scenes. V'horayah, Haman wanted to make a decree. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted that the decree should fall in Chodesh Adar. Why Chodesh Adar? Because Chodesh Adar is the month where Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu will be a great help to Klal Yisrael. If there's a decree in Chodesh Adar, he's got the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, Rebbeinu Shel Olam made that this random dice should fall in Chodesh Adar. We call it Purim. We don't call it Pur. Purim. Why Purim? It's also Rabbin. The Torah says Haman threw it twice. Because just to throw on a month, that should be a portent of a good month, but it's got to fall somewhere. So it didn't mean anything. So he threw one in front of that door. Then he wanted to find out as to whether there was anything in it. So therefore he took also a dice which he threw connected the days of the year to see if the days of the year would fall in Chodesh Adar. So he had a dice which was a pur, which to fall in the Yomim, to fall in the Yomim, and the Yomim also fell in Chodesh Adar. In the 14th of Chodesh Adar. Why the 14th? Because although Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Adar, he also died on Adar. And that's the Reya Maslis Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu died. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam waited until it should be the 14th of Adar, because the 14th of Adar, the Shibur of Moshe Rabbeinu is finished, so the Reya Masli is also behind us. So it fell in Chodesh Adar when he was born. The second dice fell on the 14th, after the Shiva of Moshe Rabbeinu. So already the Reya Masli is behind us. Mighty good. So even the Purim, even the dices, when they fell, how they fell, else. The Bereshit was working on something like just throwing a dice, which everybody would say this is a mikra mamish, just by chance. Just other, doesn't exist by us. When a dice falls, which side it falls, when it falls, else hamashpiri lilois bashmayim v'oris. This is our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the whole episode is called Purim, because that's the lesson. The lesson is to teach us the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single haphazard random event that seems to us absolutely a mikra mamish. Start with that. But Klal Yisrael is not a mikra, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is a mashpil bor. It's no chance either. The Nitzachon of Klal Yisrael was a Nitzachon not against Stamma Uma, but against the Umar of Amalek. Haman was a Nimru Nechet of Amalek, and being an Enikel of Amalek, he had automatically the Shitter of Amalek, not only in the sinner against Klal Yisrael, the whole Ashkofer of Haman was a Amalekic Ashkofer, and the Ashkofer of Amalek, says the Torah, is the antithesis of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Asher korcho baderech." Ayoy Amalek, Asher korcho baderech. What's korcho? Is Rashi brings various interpretations. But one of the interpretations is Asher korcho baderech mikre, chance meeting. The shittur of Amalek is mikre. Die Jidah Valmolik is Hamadir der Hakadosh Baruch Hu Zomar Kol Goyim Hashem Al Hashemayim Kvodim. Was tut sich da hier und hier? Was war das Mikle? Du hast Goche, du hast Planning über Gott und Gott, Hashem Koruch Hu Vatim. Das ist die Jidah Valmolik. And that shit is the shit of and that's why Haman throws dice. He doesn't realize that there's any hasgocher in dice. A chance. I know what Bnei Yisrael is not mashgiach in chance happening. Because the shit of Hashem, a korch of Adelech, is a shit of a molech that everything, if the Bnei Yisrael is not mashpili, he's not organizing the events here down on earth, and whatever happens, it's not a mikra. It's not directed from up above, it's a mikra. And therefore, we find, if you take the grammatical, the of Amalek, it's 240. Amalek is 240, the same word as Rom. Rom is 240. Amalek Shita is Rom al Kogoyim Hashem al Hashemayim Kogoyim. The Boyishim is in heaven, not here on earth. And there, everything that happens on earth is a mikra. It's, no, it's not organized. It's not divided by God's book. This is Anshita. And mainly you find, when did Amalek appear on the scene? Amalek first appeared on the scene. If you look in Chumash in Parashat B'Shalach, you'll see that the last words in the Pasuk, just before Vayovar Amalek, is the Klal Yisrael said, Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Imoin. In other words, Klal Yisrael voiced a sophic. What was a sophic? Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Imoin. Is the Ribbono Shel Olam amongst us, with us, down here in our lives, directing and manipulating the Bria down here on earth? Or the Nish, it's a Sophic. Klal Yisrael is a Sophic. Klal Yisrael is a Sophic. Ta'yesh Hashem v'kirbeinu imoyin. Is the Ribbono Shel Olam mashgiach here in the world, or is the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemayim down here on earth? Is Nish the Ribbono Shel Olam a Sophic? The moment the Klal Yisrael thought such a machshava of Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu oyin, that maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam is not mashbiach down here b'kirbeinu, and therefore everything is just happening, is Vayomer Amalek. Oh, Amalek saw a schwachkeit in Klal Yisrael. Amalek saw that Klal Yisrael was thinking along the lines of Asher Korcho, it's a Samikr, there's no Hashem b'kirbeinu. If there's no Hashem b'kirbeinu, everything's just happening. Just happening. That's us. That's where we come in. And therefore, Vayovar Amalek, Amalek wanted to exploit the weakness in Klal Yisrael, in their Hashkofas and their Emunah, of Hamashpiros, Vashmayim Vorets, and there's no Hashem b'kirbeinu. If so, that's where we come in. Vayovar Amalek, and Amalek came to do battle with Klal Yisrael. Therefore, when the Ribbono Shel Olam said, when the name of the month which we are given is a month of Ador, Aseili Kitun Echot She'odur Etzlechem, it's a Loshen Dira. Ador is a Loshen Dira. Ribbono Shel Olam is Dor in Klal Yisrael in them Chodesh. Because the Chodesh of Ador is the Chodesh of the episode of Purim, where this whole episode was to teach Klal Yisrael the limud that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Dor B'tachtoinu, is Dor amongst us, and although things may be going on in the world which perhaps we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's behest upon him. Our Lord Jesus time goes Dor B'tachtoinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Dor in Klal Yisrael, and we saw it most in Chodesh Adar, because the whole episode of Purim which took place in Chodesh Adar was to teach Klal Yisrael even the normal, conventional, ordinary, random things that are taking place, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Dor B'tachtoinu, directing it and manipulating everything that takes place. So therefore the Russian Dira Daike in Chodesh Adar is a very fitting name to give to this month, because that was the lesson of Purim, to teach to what extent the Ribbono Shel Olam is Dor B'Soicheinu and directing everything that takes place. And therefore we find too that it's gladder in this man would be Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma is the Binyan HaMikdash, the Binyan HaMishkan. The Mishkan was Kitan Echod She'odr B'Shechem. It symbolized the whole idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam comes down onto earth, and here Shechinah V'Tachtonim. Shechinah V'Tachtonim, without going into any esoteric explanations of Shechinah V'Tachtonim. Our Pashas means Shechinah V'Tachtonim, means the Ribbono Shel Olam here down in this world, directing and controlling everything that takes place. Which was the limud of Purim, of which the month is called Adar, Dira V'Tachtonim, where the Ribbono Shel Olam is down here amongst us. And therefore, it also helps us to understand why it is that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim that there are three mitzvahs which you didn't have to observe when they enter Eretz Yisrael. One is Minui HaMelech, to appoint a king. The second is to destroy Zaru Shel Amorek. And the third is the mitzvah of Binyan HaMikdash. Three mitzvahs. And the Ribbono Shel Olam writes, the Rambam writes, and it's Al Pi the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the mitzvah of Hachrosas Zaru Shel Amolek must be fulfilled before the Binyan HaMikdash. And it has to be in that Seder. First of all, Amolek has to be destroyed, wiped out, then the Binyan HaMikdash. And the reason is simple. Because those two are a stira. The idea of a Beis HaMikdash of Shechinah V'Tachtonim is the antithesis of Shechinah HaMolek. HaMolek out, as the his world is out from Mikra. There's nobody directing and governing this world. Whatever happens is random. The Ribbono Shel Olam, if anything, the Ribbono Shel Olam is mine. The Beis HaMikdash, which brings home to us the idea of Shechinah V'Tachtonim, the Ribbono Shel Olam directing everything, even if you knock your finger. Those two can't coexist. You can't have those. You've been a molech in the world with his shitta and the shitta of a Beis HaMikdash of Jina B'Tachtonim. That's geht nicht. That's either a contradiction one to the other. Therefore, before you build a Beis HaMikdash, there has to be krisis Zara Shel Amolek. Zara Shel Amolek and the shitta of a molech as a korcha baderach, that here anything takes place is not a directive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has to be destroyed and annihilated before you can build a Beis HaMikdash which denotes Shechinah V'Tachtonim. Two can't coexist. And that one has to be before you. And that's how it was in the Midbar. Before the Mishkan was built, is Vayomer Amalek. There had to be Mechorin Amalek, and the Shittah of Amalek wasn't destroyed, unfortunately, but the reason it was weakened. Once the Shittah of Amalek was weakened, the Umar of Amalek was weakened through Moshe and through Yeshua, then we could proceed in making a Mishkan in the Midbar. One without the other gateness, otherwise one's a stealer, one's a contradiction. And perhaps in this context one can also add the following. The Tur writes that all the 12 months that we have are connected to the Yud Beis Shvatim, they state in the Tur. The Tur does not elaborate which month is connected to which Shvatim. 12 months, 12 Shvatim. In Sefer Kedushas Levi, Kedushas Levi says that Chodesh Adar is connected to Yosef. And the reason that he gives is, or at least the indication is, that Mazel Adar is Mazel Dogim. And by Yosef it says, V'yigu L'roi B'Kerevot. And Mazel Dogim was the month, and Yosef we also find the Yidgu Loshen Dogim, Yidgu Leroy, the care of Oretz, says the Kedushas Levi, that particular Chodesh of Adar is connected Yosef. In view of what we've said vis-a-vis Chodesh Adar, one can also understand why this is connected in particular with Yosef. Yosef, in his life, particularly in Mitzrayim, went out of his way to publicize to what extent the Ribbono Shel Olam directs things that are going on in the world. When he first met up with Paroi, His first words almost to Pharaoh was, Eso Elohim Oise Hera Lepharah. What's going to take place in the world is going to be a roll with a sovereign, with a famine, with a lot. That's present with a famine. Famine is looking regular with a famine. The fortune is a naturalness. Eso Elohim Oise Hera Lepharah. First words and message that Yosef gave to Pharaoh was, so to this design, you don't know anything about it with your Avodah Zarah. Here's all right. So the Rabbeinu Shalom on Eso Elohim Oise, there's nothing that takes place in this world unless the Rabbeinu Shalom directs. That was the message. And he kept on repeating this message all his life. When he met up with his brothers, Kilimichya Shalachani Hashem, Elohim, the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Kilimichya, you I happen to be in charge. So I becomes in charge. Who makes me in charge? The Rabbeinu Shalom put me in charge. By Yishlacheni Alekim, the Rabbeinu Shalom Gishik. Every second word of Yosef HaTzadik was to indicate to what extent that everything that's taking place with him in his lifetime is all being directed and controlled when he's invaded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he sent a message to his father. What was the message that he sent to his father? Kisumani Alekim Odoin Al Mitzroi. So he sends a message to Moshe, to Yankovina, to his land, the Glick, you've got the son, Kisumani Elohim, Odin Al Mitzroi. But Yankovina is interested in the fact whether he's got the son in charge, whether he's got the son of Melech and Mishnah Melech. Let's get Yankovina more important things to know about than that. And he listens to the Elohim, to this Elohim, men, sickness. So the region is the head of the rock. He said, Mani Elohim Odin Al Mitzroi. So man is a lot of Som Ani. I have put Elohim Odin Al Mitzroi. I've taught Mitzrayim that there's an Odin Al Mitzrayim. So Mani Elohim Som Ani Elohim Odin Al Mitzrayim. And my whole life's purpose is to teach Mitzrayim a Sadar Elohim. Sadar in Boynish and directing things. And the king was Loshim Hateva, saying in Matthias Hateva. The whole Teva, the whole natural event that will be taking place, does it out of the king. And that's my life's purpose, as Yosef. He said, Somani Elohim, I put him on the map. And I've taught Mitzrayim that he's ordering Al Mitzrayim, that he's directing everything that takes place. And does this Yosef Atzati? And that is Yosef Atzati. And does this Chodesh Adar? Chodesh Adar is Dira B'tachtoinim. The Rebbeinu Shalom is in this world directing and guiding the world, and also the Yosef HaTzadik's message to the world. It's a Lekim Moise Herlefa, also the Rebbeinu Shalom in this world. May the Kuntois, that Chodesh Adog should be connected to Yosef HaTzadik. That's the connection. Yosef's life was to teach the content of Chodesh Adog, and therefore it was connected to Yosef HaTzadik that Chodesh Adog is in this world. And that is possibly why we have a Kabbalah, Rashi brings it in Chumash, that when Yosef was born to Yankov Avinu, he left Lavan's house because he said, I'm not afraid of Esav anymore. If I've got the Yosef, I'm not afraid of Esav. Says the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kabbalah she'ein zaro shel Esav nimsor ele v'yad zaro shel Yosef. The Zara Shal Esav will be given over and will lose out eventually to Zara Shal Yosef. Yosef's Zera will defeat Esav's Zera. Yosef with Esav. What's that Yosef to come with Esav? Bedafke. Bedafke Yosef. It says Esav is a shitter of Rom, Al Kovayim, everything in the Mikka. You should give me money from God for Sphere to Mel. Yosef was Lehepach. Yosef wanted to show that everything that's in place to take place in the world. Shtok and Nikla, out of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Is those two are going to clash. Nimsa Zaroi Shal Esav, Yad Zaroi Shal Yosef. One's going to be Natsech over the other. And as soon as Yosef was born, Yankov is ever the Hobbit and Shmer Esav. Because he's got that chaos, he was snagging the whole shitter of Esav, of Esav the Gematria, Rom Al Kovoy Mashem. Yosef will be battled with that one himself. And so it was. Zara Shal Yosef is Mordechai. Mordechai versus Haman, Nin, Venechot Shal Esav. And Makabolah, Azare Shal Esav is Nimsa, Zara Shal Yosef. Mordechai Atari. That's how it was. It is a Mizborach, as it was then. So it should be by Yom Nehem, Bazman Azer, Bez Hashem Mizborach. should be zoicha nimchoidus to yeshuvas nechomus zara shel yosef should be natzeach al zara shel esav yidl zom meyeshua v'gula shleimo al gud nechoidus mehev v'meinu amin.